Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Browns Monday, one way or another, and we have spent the first hour of the show dissecting an unfortunate performance by the Browns. Offense, defense, special teams, pretty much everybody against the Dallas Cowboys on national TV to talk about that game. To continue the dissection, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You're going to hear this man every single Browns Monday. He is Browns analyst Nathan Zagura. Welcome to the show, bud.
Thanks for having me. Obviously, I wish it was under better auspices after a very disappointing open to the season for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's weird. Like the thing, you know, I'm not going to rehash the first hour of the show. We've only got you for so much time here. I just am curious because I know you've said that, you know, you watched it in real time, you went back and rewatched it. When do you think that game turned from skewing towards Dallas's way to all the way towards it being a rout?
I think it probably happened at the start of the second half is when it kind of transformed. And there was still one other glimmer of hope. I thought you went the 3-and-out to start second half. They get the punt return for the touchdown. That's 27 unanswered points. It's 27-3. It feels pretty daunting there. But the Browns did come back and score, got it to 27-10, and the defense got you the ball right back. I thought that next drive, had the Browns been able to put some points on the board there and make it, let's say, 27-17, all of a sudden, then it's a ball game a little bit. The pressure shifts to the Dallas Cowboys, who had been obviously the better team up until that point, but the Browns were not able to do that, and I thought at that point, that was pretty much it.
So when we look at the big picture of this, actually, I kind of want to go to the offense. I'm a little all over the place here, buddy. Sorry. When it comes to the dink and dunk of this new offense, is that more about the state of the O-line, or is that more their plans with Deshaun in general?
I don't think it was supposed to be a dink and dunk offense. I think there were multiple times that they had shot plays drawn up, and he had a 36-yarder that was right through the hands of Amari Cooper in the second half. So I think there were shot plays that they wanted to be able to take, but most times shot plays have to come from advantageous down and distance situations. And the Browns, I think yesterday, probably with the combination of pre-snap penalties and then ineffective plays on early downs, were, you know, probably the worst first and second down team in the league yesterday, and the stats would back back that up. They face third and long, which is 7 or more yards on 46% of their third downs yesterday. The league average, by the way, was 21%. They were 1 for 12 in those situations. So a lot of shot plays come from when defenses know you could run or you could pass, and then you're able to get that hard play action and get those shots. And so one of the things they talk about here is it's so important to be good on first and second down, and the Browns weren't. I don't think Deshaun had his best game. I thought there were throws he missed from an accuracy standpoint. I thought there were a few reads that he missed in terms of what he saw or where his eyes were. There were a few clean pockets, and I know people are really highlighting those that he left perhaps prematurely, but he got hit 17 times. He was under pressure more than any quarterback in the league yesterday. Kirk Cousins and Matt Stafford were the 17 hits were the most of any quarterback in the league, not to mention he was sacked 6 times as well. There was even only one game in which the quarterbacks on both sides of the ball got hit a combined 17 times, and that game went to overtime, and the Rams were without 4 offensive linemen on their team. It was a combination of a lot of things. So you had quarterback play wasn't where it needed to be. The offensive line play certainly was not where it needed to be, and I thought the pocket collapsed significantly up the middle more than we're accustomed to with the Cleveland Browns. And then you had receivers who had some opportunities to make plays on footballs that they did not make, and it all added up to a pretty ugly offensive performance that saw the team pick up just 1 first down in the first half.
Nathan, should we expect more pre-snap and motion at the snap going forward, or is this kind of, because I want to say the Browns were last in the NFL on Sunday for pre-snap and motion at the snap.
Yeah, which was very surprising to me, and I thought that was going to be a bigger piece of what you saw with this Cleveland Browns team. So I would expect that you would. That was one of the things that, you know, Ken Dorsey was brought in to implement more pre-snap motion and meaningful pre-snap motion, and so I was surprised by those numbers. I saw those two that were reported by the ESPN reporter who covers the Cleveland Browns. That surprised me a lot, I would say. And I think that that's something that you will need to see more of going forward in the future.
You called me out on the source there, Nathan. Very good. Very well done. I know, yeah. I can never sneak one by the goalie when you're here. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you see as the biggest area of immediate improvement for Deshaun if he just gets a little more time?
Just, I think, kind of being in rhythm and perhaps throwing with a little bit more anticipation in certain circumstances. There are certain routes where you've got to kind of put that ball into the open spot that leads your receiver into it. And then when shots do present themselves, if it gets blocked up, obviously connecting on those balls down the field. You know, Dak Prescott probably wasn't as sharp as, you know, he wanted to be yesterday, and I think the Browns defense gets a lot of credit for that as well. But when he did go vertically down the field, one was a blown coverage where they got to the touchdown to Brandon Cooks, but the other one was an absolutely perfect ball to CeeDee Lamb, and he had another great ball to CeeDee Lamb down the field that MJ Emerson made a nice PBU on late in that play. So I think it's just more about when the opportunities present themselves, being accurate with the football and sometimes having a little bit more anticipation. And it's hard because playing the quarterback position, it's so much about trusting what you're seeing with your eyes, trusting your reads of the defense, trusting your receivers across the face of defenders, especially when you're throwing to the inside, and then trust that your line's going to give you time. And a lot's been made about the preseason. And I would say, you know, obviously Dallas played nobody in the preseason and they looked pretty darn good yesterday. But perhaps there is something. Dak wasn't as sharp as, you know, he normally is. And Deshaun, I don't think, was as sharp as he would have liked to have been. And I think there were a multitude of factors. It was just a bad offensive performance by the Cleveland Browns, kind of all the way around. 4 drops, 6 sacks, 17 hits, errant throws. It was tough. It was not at all the game that I think anybody had hoped for, certainly, nor that they expected to see yesterday there at Huntington Bank Field.
Upon further review, I'm gonna guess where you're gonna go with this. How do you think the O-line played?
I was certainly not their best performance, and I think they would readily admit that. I thought DeJuan played pretty well. I thought he held up very well against a lot of pressure, and you saw as the game went on, Micah Parsons was kind of moving over and lining up on the other side or even over the guard in the center at times. I thought Wyatt had a solid game, so on the right side it was good, but I thought it was a struggle for Ethan Posick. It was a little bit of a struggle for Joel Bitonio, which is something we are not accustomed to. He has just been so good for a decade, so that was a little surprising that we knew Hudson was going to have some problems, and he did, but that was not – what you expect a Cleveland Browns offensive line to be, and it certainly is not what a Cleveland Browns offensive line really has been, even last year when you had both tackles out.
Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Is a Browns Monday, and we are talking about the Browns shellacking at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys. How seriously did the team consider pulling Deshaun late in this game?
I mean, I'll just go on what Kevin Stefanski said, which is they talked about it, and Deshaun said no, he wanted to play. And I know that he certainly has earned the respect of his teammates because he, without question, took an absolute beating yesterday. I mean, he took a lot of big hits. You think about the ball that he threw down to Amari Cooper, took a monster shot right there. Jordan Phillips basically ended up running free after he got around whoever was blocking him on that play and speared Deshaun Watson right in the sternum. So I think you're in a lot of respect there. But yeah, I think there was some thought to it because he was taking so many hits, but he wanted to play. And I know that his teammates have talked about that today. All those who spoke with the media certainly mentioned it and were very impressed by his toughness and his resiliency there in the face of, that game took a physical toll on him. There's no doubt.
So we've spent a lot of time focusing on the offense. How would you assess the defensive line or the defense's performance yesterday?
It's hard to really kind of give a fair assessment of the defense. I thought, honestly, they played well enough to win. You know, Dallas kind of shut it down in the second half, it felt like. So it was hard to kind of get a read there. But, I thought they did a pretty good job getting three and outs, which they have, last year they did at the highest rate. They were excellent on third down again. They held the Cowboys, I think, to just 29% conversions on third down in this game. So all in all, it was a good performance from the Cleveland Browns defense. You had one blown coverage that led to a touchdown, and they had one nice drive where the Browns kind of defense was really on its heels, 11 for 74. But other than that, they didn't gain more than 31 yards in a single drive. There were multiple three and outs. And as I said, on the third down standpoint, they held the Cowboys to just 4 of 14, 28.6%. So a lot of good there, three sacks. You got to take the football away. That's something that's very, very important, obviously. And the Browns did not take the football away in this game, but there was a lot to like about this defense and what you're expecting, this defense to be coming off of that, number one ranking a year ago. I still think that they certainly can be right there.
Nathan, can I get a guarantee? I know you got pull over there. Can I get a guarantee that the two candy areas are staying in the press box?
I believe that is the case. Yeah, some nice changes. The PR staff certainly did a good job getting that press box food elevated. They had a nice pasta station and some candy and ice cream and all that. So, yeah, I think it was good. I'm glad that there were some sweets up there.
It was like the taste of the Browns because I tasted everything, Nathan.
good.
So when we look big picture, there's really two ways to look at this. This is just one game or the end is nigh. Do you think that this is just one game or do you think there could be something more to a slow start out of the gate for the Cleveland Browns?
I mean, at this point, it's just one game. And, the Browns kind of looked at that first quarter of the season, right? And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you said to yourself, okay, you've got, the tough games, Dallas and Jacksonville, and then you've got a couple ones that come up where you're going to be the favored team. And you'd like to be, I always thought 3-1 would be a nice place to be in the, after the first quarter, even though now we have 17 games, we don't have that clean quarter break anymore. But that's kind of where I thought they would be. We'll see, if this is a linger. I think you're going to learn a lot about this football team. I think this is a very important game for the Cleveland Browns. I think they absolutely need to come back out and make a little bit of a statement. They need to correct a lot of the things that ailed them, and they need to show that they took that tape, they saw it, they flushed it, and now they're going to get back to being the Cleveland Browns that we believe they can be. I think, and that comes from, you're going to notice that in two areas, I think, immediately. The line of scrimmage, do we control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball? And the other would be, do we eliminate the pre-snap penalties that put us behind the sticks consistently? And then the third would be, can we be better on first and second downs as an offense? Whether that's running the ball or whether that's Deshaun Watson or the play calling, all of it, that's where the Browns need to be significantly better if they want to have success.
How do you mitigate the Njoku injury in his absence?
Yeah, it's tough. You can't replace a Pro Bowler. I would say, as you saw Jordan Akins, who filled in yesterday and had, considering what he, the season he had a year ago, which was not great, he had three catches for 27 yards, and this was a nice catch for 13 yards late in the game, kind of over the middle. He's more of a pass catcher, so I think he can fill that role. You're certainly going to miss David Njoku's ability as a blocker. The Browns do have a couple of tight ends here on their practice squad. My guess is one or both will be elevated for this roster going forward, or the next couple of games while they wait for David Njoku to come back. But the Chief is such a great player. He is such a great leader. He is a huge part of what the Browns do on offense, both as a receiver and as a blocker. And you can't kind of overstate his importance to this football team, and that would be a big loss if he is forced to miss some time with that ankle injury.
Is it just me, or did we find a returner?
Yeah, Jalen Darden looked great yesterday, and I think, you know, if you're looking, okay, what are some of the bright spots in here, that would be one of them. One of the bright spots would be Jalen Darden. The nice punt return set up our first 3 points there. I thought he did a good job on the kicks, thought he did a good job on the punts, and yeah, they signed him to the 53-man roster, and so it does look like Jalen Darden's going to play a role here in this return game, and I thought he had some juice, and he's a guy who can run as well, so maybe he'll you know, earn a few snaps at receiver just kind of as a field stretcher, and think of what we wanted Marquise Goodwin to be last year before he had all those offseason injuries and the blood clots and that scary situation. Maybe Jalen Darden's a guy who can provide some of that for the Browns as well. But I thought he definitely had some juice there. Got to clean up the coverage units. You cannot allow a punt return touchdown. You just can't do it. It's a three-phase game. It's hard enough when you're losing, you know, on offense. But when you lose on, you know, all three phases and especially special teams, you got to at least be neutral in special teams. And the Browns were not yesterday.
One down, 16 to go. I know we got plenty of football in front of us. I thought you and Andrew did a great job together. Want to say that to you, and thanks again for your time, buddy.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about a Browns win.
That sounds good to me, buddy. Nathan Zagura there, Browns analyst in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The question comes up now, which is that just one game, or is that a sign of something worse? And I have zero problem with anyone going on some sort of mental tangent where you convince yourself that the Cleveland Browns are DOA this season. That's as bad of a game one as I can remember. And I know people pointed out, what was it, 2017, where you got skunked. I mean, just absolutely, RG3 had like, I don't even think RG3 made it to 100 yards in that game. You got no offense, no defense. Okay, but the difference is the stakes. Nobody expected RG3 in, and by the way, I think that was 2016 because that was Hugh's first year. So nobody expected that team to be any good. I mean, we did in the delusional way that every fan base thinks that their team's going to be good. For instance, my friends in Carolina, they spent themselves, 6 months saying, Bryce Young, year two. They got the guy that fixed Baker Mayfield. It's going to be fine. And New Orleans danced on that ass all Sunday long. I listened to my boys on FNZ today. Totally different. All of a sudden, they're out. One game, they're out on Bryce Young. But I digress. My point is, those were basically fever dreams. If you had any expectations of those Browns teams who were tanking, who were cutting really good players in the peak of their career like Joe Hayden, that was to suggest that that game should have gone any differently in 2016 is asinine. This team you have real expectations for. And I think the thing that we started with today and the thing that continues to mystify me talking about the Browns game is this isn't year one of a new coach. This isn't year one with a bunch of young guys on this roster. You have the second oldest team in the NFL. And you got punked. So, you know, like we went into this game. Oh, is it a statement game? There was a statement made on Sunday. And that statement is Dallas showed up, played hard, and kicked your ass. The statement was you weren't ready to start the season, and you got punked at home on national television. So to what Nathan said, yeah, this Jacksonville game does become a statement game. And the statement better be, we're awake. The statement better be, hey, we figured out the things that we didn't do well. I mean, I know this is the big cliche, but there's always the biggest jump in the NFL is expected to come from week one to week two. Coaches have always said that. I heard Harbaugh say that after the Chargers won the game yesterday. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but every smart coach I've ever heard says the biggest jump you take is in between those first two games. So I'm here to say I'm cool today saying it's just one game. The problem is the reasons, the things that led to this, the wilting when you get punched in the mouth, that's not a one-game thing. And in fairness, it's not a consistent thing. It doesn't happen back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks. But a real concern for me is whether this team smells its flowers a little too much, whether they feel themselves too much, whether they think they've accomplished something too much. Because the only way that you get out of that is either getting your ass embarrassed on national television in week one against the Dallas Cowboys, and the second way is you have a coach that can break that bad habit. And I do, I've bagged on Kevin. It was a horrendous day. Maybe his worst game as a Cleveland Browns head coach. Wasn't good as a play caller, wasn't good as a head coach. That fourth and that third and seven run decision is still one of the most stymieing, what in the blue hell are you doing moments for a guy that I think is pretty damn smart and borderline genius. Not just football smart, but people smart. But the one thing Kevin isn't is a kneecap biter. He's not Vrabel. He's not Dan Campbell. He's not. And so there's a part of me, like, if you look at the fundamental flaw in the teams that have underperformed with Kevin, it's been teams that had too many guys with big personalities who believed and maybe smelled their own flowers a little bit too much. One week in, I think it's a fair, I'll say it's just one game. I'm going to start with it's just one game. I'm going to give you it's just one game. But man, this Sunday, it better not be just one more game. The Browns need to make, whatever that statement in that first game was, the Browns need to make an equal or opposite statement directly upon the Jacksonville Jaguars. 216-474-0092. Do you think the Browns now are in need of a statement game coming off making their own statement, which was no bueno? Rod, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, I just want to say thanks for having me. I just want to comment real quick on Coach Stefanski, mm-hmm. on his comment about the offensive line have to do a better job of protecting Watson. Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, the coaching staff need to do a better job also. You don't let your starting franchise quarterback take 17 hits and 6 sacks and then ask him, do you want to come out? His day should have been done at the 7-minute mark of the fourth quarter. We have a second-string quarterback for a reason. That was brutal. I was on my couch cringing and oohing and aahing to some of the shots that he took. There's no question he's a tough quarterback. But somebody's got to protect him from himself in a situation like that. That's my comment.
Rod, appreciate you, buddy. So I'm a little torn on this. Because I agree with the premise. If Deshaun needs protected, it's also from himself. Deshaun multiple times held on the ball way too long. The play where Amari was wide open over the middle, and Deshaun either didn't see him or didn't feel confident that he was going to get the ball to Amari, and he held onto the ball and got mollywopped by, I believe, 3 defenders. Like, they were in his face, and he just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. That's gonna get Deshaun injured permanently. Deshaun's still does not have any sort of confidence in his ability to slide in a way that, honestly, guys, like, there's times where Deshaun talks about it and it's macho BS. Well, that's how I play the game. That's not what I saw yesterday. There were just times where it was like watching a brain fart and he just collapsed to the ground. Those two things, that's on Deshaun. So some of those hits might be attributed to the offensive line, or they might be attributed to anybody else. Some of these things are on Deshaun. And that idea, and the Browns have been saying this for now 2 years with Deshaun, you have to know when to throw it away. Now, specific to whether Deshaun should have come out of that game or not, I will tell you right now, in the moment, I thought, maybe bring Jameis out here and give Deshaun a breather. But I also, the second that I thought that, I immediately thought, you're not going to get better by not playing more snaps. And because you didn't play in the preseason...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience. Because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips. And support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Well, that leads you to having to knock all that rust, cobwebs, or whatever. And so, and honestly, here's the other thing. The no huddle run or the quick tempo run that they went on that they scored the touchdown did, at least in the second half. Well, maybe you can get one more of those, right? The momentum builders. Because had they gotten one more of those, you absolutely could have gone, well, okay, it still was dog, but this team still collapsed. But you saw glimmers of that thing. It wasn't hitting on 6 out of 6 cylinders. Maybe it was hitting on 3 out of 6 cylinders. One drive in the second half, you were hitting on one out of six cylinders. But I understood. So to me, I don't have a problem with Deshaun wanting to stay in. I don't have a problem with Kevin Stefanski keeping him in. The problem I do have is the ask. Respectfully to Deshaun, because this is not about Deshaun. This is about Kevin Stefanski. If you don't think Deshaun should be on the field, then Deshaun shouldn't be on the field. If the juice versus the squeeze isn't worth it, if knocking off any rust or trying to get more comfortable in the offense or whatever it is, if that isn't possible, or if you think the longer he stays out there, it's more likely that he gets hurt, then the light goes on for him. If you think that, don't ask. And that's something that Kevin did a lot with Baker that drove me crazy. The cost of doing business with quarterbacks that make a lot of money, or in the case of Baker Mayfield, the cost of doing business with a guy with a big personality and maybe a little hard-headed, is occasionally you have to meet tough with tough. Occasionally you have to go to Deshaun and say, dude, you don't have anything to prove to me or anybody else. And even if you did, you're not proving it here by getting another butt kicking. So you're coming off the field. We'll talk about it. I'm not benching you. I'm doing this because nothing around you is helping you. Right? Your receivers are dropping the ball. Your offensive line isn't adequately blocking. Schematically, we're leaving you on an island. Whatever you want to say, in that moment, and I actually, it's funny. It's one of the things Kevin Stefanski did say. Well, you know, I asked him, but he wanted to stay in. Who's the head coach? And I can understand that Kevin is more of a player's coach. I totally get that. But I don't care that Deshaun stayed out there. I mean, if he had gotten injured, guys, it would have been Kevin Stefanski's head. Every single one of us today would have been bashing Kevin Stefanski for leaving him out there when that game was decided, even before you put up that touchdown in the third quarter. Every single one of us, especially in the fourth quarter when it was getting ugly and the shots were adding up. Every single person would have rightfully said, what the hell were you doing there? But to then come out and say, I gave him the opportunity, I understand this is partly Deshaun's ball club. And I understand that you're trying to empower him and you're trying to help him lead. Sometimes you need to protect the player from the player. You didn't do it with Baker 4 years ago, and it ran Baker out of town, amongst other things. Now, which, by the way, is what I think Kevin did want, whether Kevin will admit it or not. But now you're doing it to a guy who in that moment, the guy's got a lot going on. Maybe next time you protect Deshaun from those urges when honestly, it was a day. Play him, don't play him, fine. Don't ask. You don't have to ask a player for permission. I don't care how different the NFL is now from 30 years ago. 216-474-0092. Dave, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
So here's the deal. Anyone with two eyes can see that Deshaun obviously didn't play well. But the issues with our team, it's organizational. It's about this organization allows leaders to act like babies and just not take accountability for what's going on. There's no excuse for us being unprepared for this game. But what happens is that whenever criticism comes, you've got Quincy Avery coming on Twitter to defend Deshaun against fans. Deshaun goes ahead and puts it off that it's the media's fault. Our linemen talk about how they weren't prepared. Whatever happened to just being a man and owning up and being prepared when the time comes? And that's an organizational issue. What happens to Kevin just being a man and saying, guess what, Deshaun? No, you're not going back out there. Like, what happened to when men were men and people just did what they were supposed to do and just manned up? I'll tell you who was a man. Joe Flacco was a man, but no, we let him leave because we didn't want to hurt Deshaun's feelings. It drives me nuts, and it's an organizational issue, and until it gets fixed, we're going to keep having season after season where we struggle and we lose games that we shouldn't, even though we are a loaded roster with a smart coach. It's going to drive me nuts. I'll leave it at that.
Dave, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for giving us a call. So, there was a lot there. I don't agree with everything. But I do agree, whether it's when men were men, I don't really even know what that means anymore. 1972. No. You're thinking of 1961. That's when men were men. But I do think there is something to be said about you don't have to choose between being an analytical, I don't want to say emotionless, but emotions under control, cool, calm, and collected coach, and being a leader. Or being a fiery, you know, occasionally showing emotions. Like, in that moment, Dave is right. Like, leadership is what failed. And Stefanski has to own that. Deshaun has to own that. Every single one of those captains have to own that. So, but it starts with Kevin, because he is the head coach. It starts with the quarterback, because those are the two most important positions you have that are responsible on game day. The other thing I had to say is, and I'm glad, because this was, you know, part of Miles' post-game was being asked about the fans booing yesterday. And Miles said that is, they pay money for it, and it is their privilege to do so. They are free to cheer us when we do well, and they are free to boo us when we don't do well. I thought it was interesting to hear, I think it was listening to the Fox broadcast at the time, where they made mention of the boos. I don't think yesterday's booing was just about that game. Because there have been single instances in games where the Browns have been playing poorly and they've gotten booed. I think that was a culmination of 2 years, going on 3 years. I think the Browns put themselves, and I'm not trying to put this all into a big Brownsian thing. I think things have gotten better in the last 4 years. But I think there's still this agita amongst Browns fans from the decision and the handling of Baker's exit, the decision and the handling of bringing Deshaun on. And by the way, not all of which was awful. I will go to my grave saying Jimmy Haslam being honest and saying if his name was Joe Smith, we're not going to give him this chance. That's more honesty than you're going to get from most owners. But I think it also spoke to the booing was a cumulative effect of 2 years ago was supposed to be the flipping of the switch for the Cleveland Browns. And they just haven't consistently done it. And I think if yesterday had been one of those games where you could have matched the bad with the good and that you could see a team playing hard together, again, I think there were plenty of individual playing hard performances. I just don't think they played well together. So I had no problem with the booing yesterday. I thought it was justified because almost 3 years in, the return that the whole level up that this was supposed to be hasn't been. And I also think it speaks to that whether it's we had a caller in the last segment, mentioned Joe Flacco's name. We've heard other people talk about Baker Mayfield's phenomenal game yesterday in Tampa. And last year he was maybe Baker's best year as a pro, all this kind of stuff. And I know that it's cumbersome to hear. But I also think it speaks to, whether it's on the field or off the field, Deshaun just has not endeared himself to Browns fans. And it's tough to endear yourself, by the way, when you're not playing very well, or when you have multiple injuries in a season, so you're not healthy. So I understand that he's not been given every attempt to. For 12 weeks of the 2022 season, he was suspended and then didn't play very well. And then last year, it was stops and starts with the injuries. But I think if we want to get to the cumulative effect of 30 years of losing is why once every 6 or 7 games, the Browns come out, get punched in the face, and turtle like a possum. I realize that was weird saying turtle like a possum. But play dead like a possum. That is a cumulative effect of you have not eradicated all losing that has happened previously. Okay, more work to be done. But I also think this critical mass that it feels like with Deshaun criticism, I do think there's still more Deshaun could be doing. Whether it's in his press conferences, whether it is how he relates to the Cleveland audience, to help himself get in a spot where maybe Browns fans aren't as quick to boo. And the thing is, I don't think Deshaun sees it that way. I think Deshaun thinks in terms of the coverage, in terms of people's relationships with him, people viewing him as a bad guy, I think from that side of things, he still believes that he is a victim of how he's been portrayed instead of somebody in his own action. But if he's going to continue to believe that, I do think the boos are going to come a little bit quicker. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Jim. Jim, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Listen, Nick, I think it's twofold with the booing. Like, I was there. Listen, I say it's twofold for this reason. Listen, there are a group of people out there that are waiting to cheer because to say, I told you so about Deshaun. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the rest of us. That maybe we're lying to ourselves. Maybe we're not. You have to lie to yourself because if it doesn't work out, where are you? And that group of people seeing that performance, it makes them nervous because every game that he doesn't play, at least in the same zip code as he played when he was in Houston, starts making people like myself more and more nervous that maybe we've been deluding ourselves. And the second thing is you got to look at last year. The Browns won 7-8 games last year at home. There wasn't a lot of reason to be booing at home last year. We didn't see a lot of losing at home last year. So, I mean, that's another part of it. But you want to talk about the – I want to talk about the previous caller with it that said, please stop with that. It's the organizational thing. This organization is in the best position it has been, the most professional and serious position it has been in since they came back. Actually, the real problem is not the players on the field. You're blaming players on the field. When you go and blame the organization, that's that cycle of losing and not being a serious organization where every 2 years you're letting people go. That's what that alludes to, or that's what that makes me think of, and that's not what we want. I think we would all say that having these guys in place for as long as we have has been a good effect on the Browns. But, man, at the end of the season, if things don't work out well, how bad does it look that we push Deshaun's contract? These are all up in the air. I hope that never comes to be. I hope the guy comes out and lights it up next week because that's what I need. That's what I have to see. I don't think that it's that bad. I was so down. Yesterday was a complete and utter disaster. I've never left the game as early as I left. But you know what? Yes, it's one game. I'm putting it on the players. Kevin didn't coach a good game. Nothing went right. I am willing to just flush that down the toilet and move on and have a better outlook going forward.
Jim, you still seem like you're working through it, brother. I appreciate you. And I'm right there with you. Until this Sunday, it is just one game. But so help me God, don't make me say it's just two games because I ain't saying it.
Later, guy.
Buddy. That was weird. He called me guy and I just instinctively said, buddy. I gave him a head nod. I work in radio. I should be able to use my words. Should being the operative word there. 216-474-0092. I think you can say that the organizational failures of firing guys every 2 years is the most extreme version of organizational failure. Culture is not just built in a locker room, though. And that's what I would say. That doesn't mean that, oh, these guys don't know what the hell they're doing, but there's still something missing that at least 3 times a year we're getting efforts like we saw yesterday. Not in terms of, oh, guys just don't make plays. That happens. That's the NFL. It is hard to win in the NFL. It's not hard to compete. And that's my frustration.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.